Hello and welcome. I'm Mr. Johnson, Head Teacher of Information Technology here at Tugra Lake Secondary College, Tumbiumbi Campus, and you're listening to Episode 6 of Tumbi Talks, our official campus podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, we're so glad you've joined us. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. It's great to have you along for the ride, and we hope you find our podcast informative and enjoyable. We've got another fantastic episode lined up for you today, filled with inspiring stories and updates. And we'll also be catching up with some of our amazing student leaders about some events that they've attended recently, especially at the Model UN. Before we jump into all that, I'd like to take a moment to thank everyone that's liked and subscribed again. And your kind words and encouragement mean the world to us. It's clear we have a very incredible community of listeners, so we would like to cater for that in the coming episode. So thank you very much. As always, we're kicking off with someone very special, our campus principal, Miss Bate. She'll be sharing some highlights of the past week and giving us a sneak peek of what's coming up. Hi, Miss Bate. How are you?
Hello. Well, thank you.
Very good.
It's good to be here.
On this chilly winter morning here at the Central Coast?
Absolutely. Last week I was in Bathurst for the Secondary Principals Annual Conference. That's where all the secondary principals in the state gather, and it was chillier than the coast, so this is quite balmy.
Did you get to a 0 degree in Tamworth?
In Bathurst, absolutely.
Oh, Bathurst, sorry, yes.
Absolutely. I had an amazing frost, which led to a beautiful day.
Oh, very nice.
And it's been quite a few years since I've seen a frost as living on the coast. So we have got a vibrant and jam-packed week ahead for us on our campus, particularly on Wednesday. Our creative arts staff and students will collaborate with the budding young artists from our partner primary school, the Entrance Public School, and as part of the Young Archie competition, and that's inspired by the Archibald Prize. So what a wonderful opportunity for us to build creative connections and celebrate student voice through portraiture. So I wish them all the best. I know it's ongoing, but it's starting on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, our enthusiastic STEM team will take part in the Science and Engineering Challenge. And once again, that's a fantastic chance for our keen scientists and math students to work collaboratively. They solve real-world problems and they compete against other schools on the coast. So a brilliant way to put their critical thinking to the test.
I have some of those students in my class and they're very excited.
Oh, so good. And that's not all for Wednesday. We're also cheering on our under-15s athletes competing in both the College AFL Gala Day and the College Basketball Competition. So we wish all our teams the best of luck as they represent the college, but particularly Tumbiumbi Campus with pride. And then finally, to wrap up the week on Friday, our Student Leadership Council students, they're the students who really demonstrate exceptional social-emotional skills, will be hosting the ever-popular Tim Tams in Your Gym Jams fundraiser. Mm. So students are encouraged to come dressed in their best pyjamas with a gold coin donation. And just a reminder, we need closed-in school shoes are required for safety, so please leave the UGG boots at home.
And as it is going to be quite chilly, one would think that they would be winter pyjamas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That goes without saying, but yes, good point.
It will be very, very fresh.
Good point. So that's all for me for this week. It's a big one. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and thank you always for your continued support of our amazing school. So until next time, I'll say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, welcome back to Tumbi Talks, and we are fortunate this episode to be able to welcome some very, very special guests. We have Miss Cobham,
and
hello, Miss Cobham. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Very good. Who have you brought along today?
I have the lovely Millie and Michaela from Year 7, two outstanding students we have here at Tumbiumbi Campus.
Hi, Millie and Michaela. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, very good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you very much for coming on to the podcast today. So today we're going to talk about explicit teaching. And Miss Cobham, what is explicit teaching?
Well, that's a great question, Mr. Johnson. Explicit teaching is a powerful and evidence-informed teaching practice. It works for all students as it aligns with how students process and retrieve information and the concepts that they are being taught. It actually is a priority of the New South Wales Department of Education, along with the HPG policy and equity.
So if it's a statewide policy, why is it currently a statewide policy for us in New South Wales?
Yeah, because it's super important. Explicit teaching is proven to work for all students and it is a recognised part of teacher professional practice. So it helps teachers to use evidence to plan for effective teaching and learning, which in turn gives a good balance of challenge and support for our learners.
Okay, that's excellent. And how are we here at Tumbiomi Campus implementing explicit teaching into the classroom?
Yes, so all staff have had some professional learning already with the implementation of explicit teaching across all New South Wales department schools.
Yes, we have.
Yep, and we will be doing further professional learning with the evidence-informed strategies that increase student engagement and also benefit their learning experience. So last week we introduced Tumby's own engagement norms, which are a range of strategies to both engage students and allow teachers to check students' understanding. So we have produced a poster and it's gorgeous, and that will be displayed in each classroom for consistency across our campus. And just to give an example, I'm going to ask the girls to explain some of our academic engagement norms. So first of all, Millie, can you tell us what read with me means?
Read with me means we read with the teacher.
That's fantastic. And similar, what's choral response?
We respond with the teacher at the same time.
Excellent. And what about track with me?
We follow along where the teacher is teaching.
That's excellent. So they're all whole school responses. Michaela, what about our show me? What's the whiteboard?
The whiteboard is a tool that we use to show our answer fast and quickly.
Excellent. And what about the hand signals?
Hand signals are used to show if we understand the concept.
Excellent. And also post-it notes.
Post-it notes are to record our answers and to see if we understand it.
Fantastic. Millie, what about attention signals? We've got active listening. What's active listening?
Active listening is when we look and we show our body and facing the learning.
Perfect. And what about, Michaela, I love these ones, the check for understanding. What's a non-volunteer?
A non-volunteer is someone who doesn't put their hand up to give an answer, but the teacher still chooses them.
Excellent.
That to me sounds like voluntold.
It is a voluntold, and we love a bit of voluntold around here. another one that we use very often is the think, pair, share. Michaela, what's that one?
So we think on our own what our answer will be, then we share it with our partner who sits next to us, and then we can discuss it as a whole group.
Excellent. And we also have complete sentences, and underneath that we've got public voice. What's that, Millie?
Public voice is when we speak loudly and we use academic vocabulary.
Fantastic. So that's most of them, Mr. Johnson. And as you can see, these lovely Year 7 students already know what each one means and how it's implemented in the classroom.
Sounds excellent. Now, girls, as I'm the computer teacher, I don't have whiteboards in my room. I'm interested about Chinit. So what's Chinit? What happens when Miss says to you, okay, chin it?
So we have to chin our boards or what we've done our work on under our chin so the teacher can see it and she can see everyone else's, so we don't put it in the air to block someone else.
Oh, that's great. So it's all in. Everyone's all in together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. All right. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming on today about explicit teaching. And I'm sure as the time progresses, we'll get you on for some updates about how it's going here at Tumbiomi Campus.
Fantastic. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you all. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back everybody to the Tumby Talks podcast. And I am fortunate enough right now to be here with our school sports captains of Jaden and Talia. Welcome both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we've recently hosted our school athletics carnival, and I am going to ask our sports captains a few questions about our athletics carnival. So it was pretty wet that day, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cold and wet.
Cold and wet, but we still forged forward. Do you think the weather impacted the vibe of the day?
Yes and no.
Tell us.
I reckon yes, because lots of kids were scared to come out in the rain. And yeah,
okay.
But also no, because all the year 10s, like, it's their last carnival, so they kept the vibe high.
Yeah, which was good. Like, yeah, we had quite a few people that were doing the dress-up races, which was excellent. So, I thought the vibe was still pretty good, even though it was at times pouring rain.
Yeah, definitely.
Which was great.
Yeah.
So thanks to you guys for keeping the vibe up on the day.
It's all good.
Looking back, what do you think might have been our biggest challenge for holding a athletics carnival in rainy conditions?
Probably just like it start pouring down whenever you're racing, people slip over and all that. It's just like,
so safety.
Safety, yes.
Yeah.
And mostly like ground rules and that. Like when you want to do discus and all, everything, people can't do it.
Yeah.
So most of them probably wouldn't have shown up if you want to do that.
And on that, what I might tell all the listeners is that on the day we weren't allowed to do any field events, were we?
Yeah, no, it was closed because the inside track was closed.
Yeah, so the grassed area was closed and we couldn't do discus, we couldn't do javelin and
shot put.
We couldn't do shot put. So yeah, those three things we had to have at a different date for safety reasons.
Yeah.
Do you think there was did anyone break any records? Do we know if anyone broke any records?
Yeah, there was a few guys in the 200 and I think some in the 100. I'm not sure about any others.
And we had right at the end of our carnival, we had a massive race with the 100 meter boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, the under 16 boys had a big show and they had a whole presentation. And, yeah, it was a pretty cool race.
So who, Talia, who was the winner of the under-16 boys race?
Rory Scott.
So Rory Scott, he does athletics on the, like, as a weekend type thing,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, as a sport.
Yeah.
I think he actually broke the record or something.
Oh, he's broken the under-16 years old record.
I know he broke it in the 200, but I'm not sure about the 100.
So even though it was pouring rain, we still broke a few records.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rain really didn't impact quality of performance, did it?
No.
No, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 10 years down the track, you're going to remember our when it poured rain.
Yeah.
You're going to remember that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
I know we are. Okay. So we're about to announce from 8th to 1st what the order was of the day. And the last one would be, of course, whoever won the carnival. So if you guys would like to announce for us in reverse order the houses here.
So in last place, we got McGrath.
In seventh, we got Darkinjung.
In sixth, we got Gleeson.
In fifth, we got Kooringai.
In fourth, we got Weber.
In third, we got Swadling.
In second, we got Beachley.
And the winner of the athletics carnival was Tesh.
Oh, so well done, Tesh. Tesh House on 299 points. So congratulations in 2025 to Tesh House. And I'd like to thank you both for coming on today to give our listeners a breakdown about our 2025 Athletics Carnival.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
Hi everyone, I'm Mr. Feeney, head teacher of Hizzy and Languages here at Tumby Campus. A few weeks back, I had the absolute pleasure of taking our two exceptional teams to the 2025 Central Coast Model UN competition. I'm here this morning to hear firsthand about the experience from these six remarkable young people. First off, introductions. Can you please introduce yourselves and tell us all what country you represented at the Model UN?
Hi, I'm Isabella, and I represented Sweden in the Model UN.
G'day, I'm Zach. I represented Sweden in the Model UN.
I'm Adam. I also represented Sweden in the Model UN.
I'm Poppy, and I represented the Netherlands.
Hi, I'm Shiloh, and I represented the Netherlands.
G'day, I'm Jana, and I represented the Netherlands.
Amazing. Thank you, everyone. Okay, Jana, for listeners who might not know, can you please explain what the Model UN is and what it involves?
Yeah, so the Model UN is based on the structure of the real United Nations meeting, and it is where a bunch of students from different schools get together, and they're all assigned different countries from across the world, and we debate international problems, and it was a full-day activity, and it was really fun.
Amazing, thank you. Okay, Adam, can you please share what was the most challenging part of preparing for the Model UN?
Honestly, the information gathering. We had to research into the proper articles used in Model UN, and there were many pages of extensive, like, sophisticated language. So that was very hard to break down. And preparing a speech based off of it, that was also pretty difficult as well.
Yeah, thank you. I can fully agree, having seen some of these legal documents that you guys all had to work through. Very, very complicated stuff. Amazing work. Okay, next up, Zach. What was your experience like during the actual debates of the day? Were you nervous? Were you excited? A bit of both?
Well, I was first one up, so, you know, I was a bit nervous. You know, you think about, like, messing up a lot. But, like, really, you walk up there, nerves really hit you. But then when you start talking, it gets so much easier. And that at the end of it, you realize that everyone is like the exact same as you. They're all nervous to talk. But then, like, it gets easier, so much easier.
Yeah, it was amazing. Again, like, really, really challenging thing. I hope all the listeners, I don't know if you've ever done anything like this before, but standing in front of a room of 100 plus other people, including university lecturers and people who have worked in governments before, is a pretty difficult thing to do, let alone for a bunch of school students. So very, very good work to everyone. Okay, Izzy, can you please tell me which countries or delegations impressed you the most and why?
There was definitely a couple of countries that really impressed me. First of all, there was Iran, who I believe they came second overall, and they were really well-spoken, and they definitely knew what they were talking about, and they were very confident, like, when they got up there in the first sort of debate, they put their hand up to speak first and open the debate sort of thing. And then there was also Turkey, which were also just as confident. And they, in Model UN, you can pass notes to the different delegations, and they were passing these notes that were really, like, persuasive and trying to get us to change our arguments to side with them. And then there was also teams from the entrance campus. They were representing Italy and South Korea, and they were really well spoken and just impressive, and I think they deserved a place in the top three, which unfortunately they didn't. But
yes, I think everyone did really, really well. The entrance teams were really, really good from our little sister college. It's great to see them there. But everyone on the day is doing top of their game, and it's, again, why you get every university, every political leader in the local area turning up to try and basically do a marketing pitch to young people to see, because they know that the quality of debating skills and of public speaking skills on show there are second to none. Okay, Shyla, if you could go back and do one thing differently, what do you think it would be?
I would definitely go back and be louder. I feel like a lot of the teams that were really well and really got everyone's attention were the ones that were yelling and pointing and really, like, expressing themselves through their opinions and their country's opinion. So, yeah, I would definitely go back and be a lot louder and a lot more shouty.
Yeah, amazing. It was lots of shouting on the day. Yeah, was it the Ghana team? I think a bunch of year 11 or year 12 were quite loud in what they were wearing as well.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. Lucky last. Poppy, what advice would you give to future students preparing for their first Model UN?
Just be confident. Like, everyone's messing up and
everyone's in the same boat as you. It really doesn't matter. As long as you just keep trying, and even if you forget, like, the day will keep going, the world will keep spinning, it's fine. And speak to, like, the other countries in the room and the other delegates, not just to the judges, because in a real Model UN, you're, like, speaking to all the other countries and trying to persuade them to believe you. There's no judges in the room.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And for anyone out there listening and wondering, you know, looking at the news and looking at how grim sometimes things can be, I hope that this little interview has put a little bit of faith for the future in you, because we've got some amazing young people out there who hopefully will do things a lot better than our generations have. All right. Thank you. That's it from us.
Winter months are definitely here on the central coast of Australia, and with that change in the weather comes a reminder about school uniform. Tumbiambi campus uniform is an important part of our school culture, and it's important that we have buy-in from every member of our school community. Wearing our uniform to school signifies that you're ready to learn, and we would personally like to thank parents and students for helping their students become ready to learn with our uniform policy. Well, that's a wrap from episode 6 of Tumbi Talks. I would like to personally thank all of our guests who came onto the podcast to share their stories. And once again, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for tuning into now and in the future. As always, stay safe, stay strong, be curious, be creative. And we will see you next time on episode 7 of Tumbi Talks.